This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. She's a columnist, commentator, and sought-after guest on talk radio programs around the country. She has a master's degree from Columbia University and an operatic voice that can shatter glass. Here's your host of Spouting Off, Karen Cataline.
It's Friday. I love it. Actually, I don't always look forward to Friday, except that I do love Shabbos. I light my candles. I never used to do that, but, you know, God had the right idea for taking 25 hours off. I wish I could turn off the electronics and the technology. It is such a smart thing to do. I admit to a bit of an addiction. Oh, there's something I'm just going to have to answer and do. But the truth is, you know, the world keeps turning whether you get to it or not. I've never had that attitude. I always, you know, have to be everywhere 5-10 minutes early. Are you like that? Do you have to be there early because you have a bit of a type A personality? Yes, I cop to that. Karen Cataline, it's Friday, and it's the Friday edition of Spouting Off here on BBS Radio. We also love simulcasting on K-Star Radio Network. Our show gets repeated over the weekend, and I can't thank K-Star Radio Network enough, and I don't thank them enough for carrying our show. I did a bunch of what I often do, which are thanks to my marvelous PR lady. I do a lot of talk radio guest interviews around the country. I do a regular one with my friend Gary Jeff Walker out of WLW, Cincinnati, Ohio. And so why was I mentioning that? Because it is amazing how much stuff there is going on. Yes, Joe Biden spoke. Yes, nobody watched. Yes, it was only a little bit more watched than the Oscars, which gives me such great glee. I have to tell you, having been in showbiz many years ago and made my living as a musical comedy actress, etc., I just thought it was wonderful. I used to look forward to the Oscars every year, and I would settle down with whatever it was I was snacking on and enjoy. I never liked going to those parties, Oscar parties. The same reason I don't like going to election night return parties, because you can almost never hear what's going on. Everybody wants to schmooze, which is nice, but I'm not there to schmooze. I'm there to watch the returns or watch who won Best Picture. Now, isn't it interesting? The minute that they had 10 Best Picture nominees, nobody cared anymore about Best Picture. And in fact, I love that people weren't watching. I didn't even turn on the TV once the whole evening of the Oscars. That is a huge change. Of course, that has been happening for me for a pretty long time, because who wants to watch a bunch of arrogant, entitled, puffy poodles, pampered poodles, congratulating each other and lecturing the rest of us? Now we know why virtue signaling is just so popular on the left. And unfortunately, it's popular on the right too. People who have to tell you and show you just how virtuous they are, how compassionate they are, how generous they are. Amazing. Now, if you really were generous and you believed in that, you wouldn't have to tell everybody about it. In fact, my Bible says the best kind of, and I argue with my Bible because I'm allowed to do that, the best kind of generosity and altruism comes when nobody knows you did it. Why? Because virtue signaling ruins it for a lot of people. You know, oh, look what I did. Look what I did. But if you do it quietly and you do it privately, it's better. In the case of the celebrities, they want you to know that they came by all that wealth and recognition and celebrity and fame that everybody supposedly wants. I think they want it less maybe now than before. Kids want it a lot. Kids want fame to justify their existence. And I'm fascinated with that subject, but I digress. So celebrities have a bunch of yes men and women all around them, telling them how great and wonderful and talented and marvelous they are. They, if you ever watch any of the reality shows about celebrities and what a miserable life many of them live, because they don't have to be accountable to anybody. But they sure do feel like it is incumbent upon them to tell everybody else how to be more generous, how to be more virtuous. And that, of course, while learning their lines and playing somebody else and pretending for a living, they are experts on politics, on whether Donald Trump is a terrible, rotten, horrible human being and needs to be hated like Robert De Niro thinks. I used to love Robert De Niro, too. Actually, I didn't love Robert De Niro. I loved some of the movies he was in, like The Godfather, about which I am a serious buff. Now, The Godfather, you know, Robert De Niro was late to the game. He was in the second one playing Vito Corleone as a young man, Corleone, that is. And, you know, yeah, almost nobody hasn't seen The Godfather. So here is part of American culture. We've got actors who think that they are kings and queens. They are certainly treated as such, telling the rest of us what to do. And all I know about the Oscars this past couple of days, and it was fascinating that we saw the Oscars in the same week as it was delayed with the Biden speech. Neither of one I watched. I did watch the Biden speech for about 3.5 minutes, but it was so excruciating. I said, you know what? They don't pay me enough to watch this. And maybe I should have, you know, as a talk show host, maybe I should have. But it was so predictable. The platitudes, the lies. You read all about it later. I've seen some of the clips of this exceptionally low energy guy who can barely put two sentences together. He can almost not even read the teleprompter. But finishing up on the celebrities, I think it is interesting that both of those things happened the same week, because you've got the same kind of smug, preening, arrogant lefties telling you how great they are and how dumb you are. Why do you want to watch that stuff? And you know what? A whole bunch of people didn't. They have come to see through this pathetic cartoon known as the the reality that we are living in. Matter of fact, this week, and if you listen to Spouting Off, either Tuesday or Thursday edition in Nashua, New Hampshire, still haven't been able to post those, but you can listen live Tuesdays and Thursdays at 12 noon Central. That's 1 o'clock Eastern. All you got to do is go to my website, KarenCataline.com, and you will be able to listen live. I think K-Star Radio Network also broadcasts that show live. So that's a great way to do it. And we're just going to have to lift those podcasts so we can put them on KarenCataline.com. But the number to call on both of those, and I've been remiss in not giving you the number for this first half an hour. We have a wonderful guest that I've been wanting to have on for a while. But the phone number to call is 888-627-6008. It's 888-627-6008. Did you watch the Biden speech or the Oscars? My point here that I keep having trouble getting to, gee, I wonder why I'm a little distracted today, is that the same people in Hollywood and Washington and all over this country who count themselves among the left, the progressives, the Democrats, who many of whom are already socialists and communists and are telling you so, those people have no humility. They believe that their way of doing things is the way you must do them, whether you like it or not. Now, that's way contrary to the way leftists used to be, but that was when they were trying to engage the hangers-on, the people on the bandwagon, into saying that the people in charge needed to be challenged. Now that they're the establishment, suddenly the establishment people, actors in Hollywood who never read anything except Variety, are telling you that they know best. They know that Trump was, quote, Hitler, but Joe Biden is a friendly and wonderfully healing, grandfatherly president of the United States. And you're not allowed to disagree. No siree. You have to think, act, and behave the way they say. Another thing that I did this week, as well as Spouting Off Tuesdays and Thursdays, I did a couple of episodes of the Main Street Radio Network, Alan Nathan's show, is that I had David Horowitz on, and he made such an impression. He always does. You know, I mean, he has seen a lot. He is one of our best weapons, David Horowitz, because he was of the left when he was younger, but he disavowed his liberal, socialist, communist roots. He was a red diaper baby. Obama, Kamala Harris, and a whole bunch of others were red diaper babies too, but they never disavowed their communism. They're still in the cult of communism. And communists always have to force. They have to use force over you because they don't have anybody to bully around if everybody goes away. So I say that, I bring up David Horowitz because he said something so important. He said Republicans have got to stop using such mealy-mouthed language. And he said cancel culture. Cancel culture is not what the left is doing. For one thing, they're book burning. They're book burning. They are censoring. They're shutting people down. They're banning people. It's bigotry. And it's prejudice is what it is. So we've got to start telling it as it is, or we're never going to win the argument. Cancel culture is a mild-mannered thing that the left even doesn't mind. Oh, cancel culture. It's not a culture of cancel. It is the antithesis of what America stands for. America stands for differences of opinion and arguing and then having a peaceful transition of power, which, of course, you can't really have when you've had a soft coup, when there is so much evidence of election fraud, and yet none of the people in the deep state are curious about it. None of them are curious about it. Now, I want to go back to what I said. I have been a guest a bunch of times this week talking about, well, you know, a whole host of things, but especially about this notion that the very people that are the least accomplished, the least honest, the most corrupt, and the most ignorant are the ones that are in power telling you what to do. Case in point, this is what I wanted to get to. So case in point, I have been dealing with a lot of bureaucracy this week in personal business that I conduct. And whenever you have to deal with a government, I don't care if it is a driver's license, that's a story. Oh, my goodness. Now, and that is in Texas. And we do understand why Texas makes it so difficult for people to get driver's licenses. Why? Because they want to guard against the hordes of illegals coming into this country. But what do they do and what do they always do? When there's a problem, they make a mass broad brush rule for everyone, which helps the left win. Think about it. When we had the shoe bomber, because they were incompetent at being able to stop terrorism, and I'm not saying that some of the airport security isn't necessary in times like these, but what do? They make sure to treat everybody like a terrorist because there are terrorists. So if you are being treated like a criminal because, for example, they ask you for your paperwork from 25 years ago as to how you changed your name over all these years, even though you've been using the name, well, that's because they're going to treat you with a broad brush collectivist view the way that they always do. Now, I'm probably going to have to take a break here soon. At least I think so. I usually get a little note that tells me I'm supposed to take a break. But our producer, he's been dealing with some bureaucracy of his own. And I think that's what's so fascinating. The minute you have to deal with unelected bureaucrats, bureaucracy, government officials, everything becomes incompetent and you get five answers for the same question. You have to go to five different departments to get one answer. I mean, you know, red tape bureaucracy is legendary in the government. Well, guess what? That's what Joe Biden wants to do to all of us, to our entire country all the time. He wants to bureaucratize everything. Actually, he doesn't want to. The people telling him what to do want to. Nevertheless, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your phone calls if there are any. 888-627-6008. You're listening to Spouting Off here on the BBS Radio Network and the K-Star Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Well, welcome back to Spouting Off, and thanks for staying through that short break. Karen Cataline with you live on a Friday afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Yep, we're live. But if you're listening to the podcast, we're very glad you are. We're talking about what we like to call an evergreen topic. Evergreen meaning it's good all the time. It's been good decades in the past, and it's bureaucracy and government red tape, which I have been dealing with incessantly all week. What I think is so amazing when they want to make you a number, and even the they're calling it now these technocracy of not only spying on people, which is the antithesis of America, but also forcing you almost pretty much. I use force for true words of force. I mean, I use the word force very specifically, but if you don't have a computer today, it's quite difficult to get along because the technocracy wants you to have a computer so they can track you, so they can watch what you're doing online and off. I'm not paranoid when people are really after me, that famous phrase. But the bureaucracy is dumber and dumber and dumber and dumbs people down. It makes us dependent not only on the government, but on the bureaucracy. Well, I can't do that unless I have an appointment in the system. This was among the many things I was told, is that no matter how illogical and irrational that it was, that people were sitting around with because some people didn't show up for an appointment, a human being cannot override the computer. If the computer doesn't have you in there, they don't want to help you. Now, that is just a tiny example of the kind of illogic, irrationality that places computers above people. And of course, if people start depending on computers so much, I rarely talk about this, but I've seen it again and again this week. If people depend on computers so much, they cease to think. They cease to be able to do anything except push a bunch of papers and put a bunch of numbers into a computer and let the computer do the walking, like the let your fingers do the walking through the yellow pages. Well, let them do the thinking. Here to talk about exactly the same thing, only some of his insanity this week with bureaucracy, for which Joe Biden and his Democrat minions just want to make it worse and worse and worse. Grow government, grow the technocracy, grow making human beings with brains feel small and stupid, and make them submit, is my producer, Doug Newsom. Hey, Doug.
Hi, Karen.
Welcome to Spouting Off on the Air instead of behind the microphone. So what example of this did you have this week? You were spouting off about it before we got on the air.
Oh, I was spouting off. I found that in business, and I do so much of it, as you know, Karen, I'm morning to night, I'll work 7 days a week.
Yes, you do.
But the service has gone backwards quickly. Whether it's food service, the quality of the food, the quality of the waiters and waitresses, the postal service, almost anything the government touches, of course. It's just gone so far backwards that most of your day, it always was the case that most of your day is spent solving problems. But now it's all of your day. You know, you might have five issues and all five of them go wrong. And not because you haven't put your best mind on it or you've worked hard. It's due to just simple, stupid error. And I'm finding that that's more and more the case. And I don't see that changing. As I was telling you earlier, and I was making light of the situation, I'd say we can all expect a brighter future tomorrow because service is going to get better. You know, you're going to hire people. They're going to be smarter. But we all know that's just not going to be the case. And why?
And why do we know that? Doug Newsom, my
well, we know that is because we're letting people into our society that shouldn't be here in the first place, unless they're here, you know, through the normal course of the channel. I know I spent 5 years waiting just to become a U.S. citizen. It was a dream of my family, and we couldn't even get into the country. I'd wait forever. But now they're letting so many people, and these people are not as well educated. Now, not their fault, I have, you know, but bottom line, that is the facts. And more of them are taking over these service jobs. And more is being outsourced to third world countries to save a penny. And indeed, we're going to suffer because you think, oh, I'm going to save a dollar by spending, you know, $20 an hour versus let's say you're dealing with coders. You want to spend $120 an hour. You're dealing with about that, maybe $80, $100, $120 an hour. But on the internet, we can get those same coders for $20 or $15 an hour. And I have a gentleman, he works way, you know, up pretty high in Hewlett-Packard. And he says, you know, Doug, if you pay $50 an hour, you're going to get $50 an hour. It's going to cost you more than $150 an hour to get the same service you should by hiring somebody that's $150 an hour. And I, you know, I laugh inside. I think, oh, but I'm still going to do it because I want to save a dollar. Well, every time I do that, it always comes back to bite me.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what else I would add as well as the reasons for some of the bureaucracy and the growing incompetence in the business world is that there is an elevation of and reward for the lack of personal accountability. Now that people are starting to lose, I think, hope in the system that holds people accountable because the lawmakers are the most corrupt of all. So if they're rewarding people who refuse to be personally accountable for their mistakes, for their behavior, if all they are is a member of a group and nothing more, they're either white and the oppressor, they're black and the oppressed. Everything is parroted and decided ahead of time, then there's no personal individual accountability.
Isn't that so true? That's so true. And one can take that really deep and breathe that in because that is the truth.
We're breathing that in, but it doesn't feel very good.
No, it sure doesn't.
Especially, Doug, when there are people who believe, regardless of what you believe God is, right? This is my fundamental belief. I believe this as strongly as I believe anything at all. It's not what you think exactly. And that is the reason why communists, socialists, progressives, and everybody else hates people of faith is because they answer to a higher authority. And that higher authority not only gave us free will, he's not forcing us to believe, but we feel we are encouraged to be personally accountable.
Yeah, you know, we have levels of morality.
Yes,
and,
yes,
personal you don't accountability. See that anymore. You know, when they're pushing all this, let's be anti-religion, you know, it's really not going to do this country any good to have an idea where there's no higher level of accountability.
But it leads to socialism and communism. Right. It always has, always will. Right. It always leads to
that. And now the government's going to be our family? They're going to be our mom and pop?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where this is going to end up.
They love us so well, they're willing to let MS-13 gang members in and open our borders to come full circle to what you were talking about.
Right.
They don't want to vet immigrants to this country. They don't care whether they have any disease, let alone coronavirus. And they're more sympathetic to gang members than they are to citizens of all colors who live here.
Right.
Wow.
That's so true. It's so true. I'm trying to move, as you know, I'm trying to get out of here to a conservative part of the country now and try to find a location in a conservative part of the country that's home prices aren't going straight up to the moon. It's almost impossible.
We are in a place of phenomenal movement in the country. And I wrote this piece, I don't know if I talked about it on this show or not. I've talked about it before, and we only have 1 minute because my producer's wearing two hats. But I direct people, if they would be so kind as to read, America is developing its own Berlin Wall. We have free states and we have slave states. And people are flocking to the free states, but some of them don't make the connection as to why they're leaving. You do, my friend, Doug and Don, but a lot of them simply don't. So I just love that you are getting out of a certain place and you're planning to go to another certain sort of place. And and when that's complete, then we'll talk about it again, okay? Thank you so much. I'll let you go back to your other hat, which
Thank
is to be
you,
my
beautiful.
Producer.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you. Well, and I just love having a producer I can spout off with, because sometimes dialogues are just better than monologues. Anyway, we are going to take a break while we get this next guest. I tracked him down. We had a snafu last week, so we've got him this week. His name is David Risalata, and I'll tell you a whole lot more about him right after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS and K-Star Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
Looking for even more great conservative talk radio? The K-Star Talk Radio Network is a Christian-owned, alternative conservative news and talk radio internet broadcasting network. They have a full line of programming about spiritual, political, social, economic, financial, and health-related topics. And their goal is to encourage critical thinking about the issues of the day. The K-Star Talk Radio Network features great shows like America's First News, The Keith Hansen Show, Erskine, and Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. Check out the whole schedule at their website at kstarradionetwork.com. Time could be short for a free people to share ideas in a free society. K-Star Radio Network is fighting a spiritual war on an earthly plane. Visit them today at KstarRadioNetwork.com.
You're listening to Spouting Off with Karen Cataline.
Welcome back to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio and KStar Radio Network. I am just delighted to have, and you know, it's been one of these, 3 weeks ago I booked him and then we had a little bit of a snafu, and this is the program in which I finally get to have him. He is a currently he's a writer for Sons of Liberty Media. He earned a master's degree at in professional writing from Liberty University, and interestingly, he has a bachelor's of social work, which we've talked about a little bit, from Northeastern State University. And he has two books, Not on My Watch, Exposing Marxism in Education and Psychopolitics in America, A Nation Under Conquest. He tells it like it is. And a third book coming out from Total Publishing and Media titled Without a Shot Indeed, Inducing Compliance Through Social Science and Persuasion. As you can tell, that is the reason I wanted to have him on. Welcome to Spouting Off, David Risalata.
How are you?
I'm doing well. You speak to the things that I have the great passion about, the love of America, and also the psychology of coercion and compliance. Tell us about this third book that you have coming out about inducing compliance through social science and persuasion. Why do we need to get this book? And I think we do.
Well, the first point I'd like to make about this book is that it was originally sent to Liberty Hill Publishing, where they had sent back their initial review praising it, you know, talking about, they said that it was very educational, and they said that everybody should read it, and they pointed out that I was really describing the loss of freedom in our country. And then when I started making the recommended changes and doing some editing on it, a couple weeks later, they wrote me back and said they can no longer publish it because of its controversial nature, which I thought was really funny. And for a few days there, I was feeling real good about myself because I had a controversial book, right, you know. But that was largely inspired by one of the last classes I took at Liberty University when I was in a communications class, and I had a textbook called The Dynamics of Persuasion. And there was a technique in that book in the chapter called Behavioral and Attitude Change, and that technique was called Fear Then Relief. That was the name of the technique, and it was described as a persuader deliberately placing an individual or a population into a state of fear and then removing that fear, knowing that they could easily get them to comply afterwards. And then I started researching that principle a little bit more, and it's found consistently in the communications journals, psychology journals, that it's a known attribute of human behavior, a known trait of human behavior. And so then I started noticing other similarities between that principle and things like Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. If you've read that book, you know in the prologue it says that people can be brought to accept change that they may never have otherwise if they reach a state of hopelessness, right? And that also kind of coincides with principles like the Hegelian dialectic, where the whole principle of introducing the problem, getting the public to react and demand a solution, and having that solution sitting in the background. You know, so I started noticing all these similarities between all these things. And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to bring, like if you go back a few years when I first started writing, a lot of the stuff was kind of conspiratorial. But what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to show that this isn't conspiracy. There's the journals show the science of human behavior that they're taking advantage of to get us to comply with what they want us to do. Does that make sense?
Oh, does it ever? And the one thing that you didn't that was implicit in this little little paragraph or monologue that you gave is that we've watched it in spades in the last year with coronavirus.
Oh,
ignoring.
Now go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
The funny thing about the coronavirus is in 2014, and this is something I mentioned in the last two chapters of this upcoming book, really focus in on this. In 2014, they did a compliance study or a review of the existing literature on face masks in Singapore. It was in the Singapore Medical Journal. And it was all done from a, have you ever heard of something called the health belief model?
I don't think so. Tell us all about that.
Okay. So, as you know, all studies of human behavior take place under certain models of how they think the study is going to go, right? So the health belief model is a behavioral change model, and it's based on basically people's perceptions of the.
Did you say health or hope?
Health. The health belief model.
Right. Right. Yep. Okay.
And it's based on largely on people's perceptions about the health threats that they face, like the how susceptible are they to catching it? What are the barriers to getting them to comply? The key word in this is perceived. The word perceived comes up over and over and over again in this model. And interestingly enough, even more, the model itself says that media and government are instrumental in providing the cues of action, right, to get people to comply with what's going on. So media and government are part of this model, and forming fear messages are a part of this model to get people
which
to
are
comply.
Now one and the same. Yes. Government and media are working together to coerce, not persuade, but coerce and bully and intimidate.
Mm-hmm. And they knew this. They knew this going into this whole coronavirus thing, that a large part of the population would comply. You know, if you read books like Nudge from Cass Sunstein, you know who Cass Sunstein was?
Yes, right. I do. Married to Samantha Power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was Barack Obama's regulatory czar.
Tell everybody who Cass Sunstein was.
Right. He was Barack Obama's regulatory czar. He wrote a book called Nudge, where he basically describes how to use little social cues to push people into one direction or another. And the big point that he keeps making in this book is their belief. And I'm not saying this is true. I'm not saying this is true at all. But their belief is that people aren't smart enough, and this is where like the ideas of cognitive dissonance come from. People aren't smart enough to know what to do when they're faced with information that contradicts their previously held biases or beliefs, and they don't take the time to go research the stuff for themselves. So they're easily moldable. They're easily persuadable because of this, and this is what they believe. And that's a big point that he makes throughout that whole book.
Could it also be, since I'm always looking at this socialist slash communist ideology that requires that everybody march in lockstep, it erases individuality
and
requires that people think, act, believe, even dress, whatever, so that they can be told what to do better. And so that, too, is part of the idea that they need to be told what to do, because I don't know. I think the real plan, the real motive is to feed their own needs rather than saying they're too dumb to know or they're not smart enough to do what they're told. That suggests that they care about people. I don't think people who feel the need to control others do care about people. They don't care about their self-determination or anything else.
No, and when it comes to the whole communist ideology, that totalitarian aspect, they're able to do that. B.F. Skinner. Okay.
Yes.
B.F. Skinner said in Beyond Freedom and Dignity that people that the fear of not fitting in or the fear of going against the grain is actually more of a control, is more of effective control than a full-blown police state. So that's something, again, that's found repeatedly through psychology literature, that people have a desire to conform. I mean, the one of the books that I'm studying right now by Jost Myrlou called The Rape of the Mind, he continually talks about this idea too. So what I'm getting at, though, is the communists know that. Because, you know, Pavlov himself was Russian. Skinner was, I think he was Russian, wasn't he? But a lot of this science of behavior comes from Russia. So they know so much about human behavior that they can normalize something, and they can say that it's normal for you to want to fit in and go along with the grain. And if you're standing out as an individual, what they were able to get away with in the Soviet Union is label that as a mental illness.
Right. Exactly, you know what I mean? Right.
Yeah.
Which is quite a trick in America, where standing out and being an individual is the very heart and basis of our Constitution.
Right, exactly. And we're losing that very rapidly.
This is the mother lode for communists. America is the mother lode. And they know it.
Yeah, and that's what inspired the title of my book, because that's what Khrushchev said. Khrushchev said, we'll take America without firing a shot. You know, they'll wake up a communist country one day. And
we'll sell them the rope to hang themselves.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. It's such a fascinating subject. I think both of our psychology backgrounds are what, drew me to your work. And especially, and there's so few people on our side of the aisle, really. I mean, when I went to Columbia School of Social Work, as I told you on the internet, and I wasn't as politically obsessed as I am today, but the number of conservatives were astonishingly small, not just in Columbia, but the whole field of social work is riddled. The whole field of psychology and so many other areas is riddled with liberalism, which is constantly changing to justify its politics. We have about 90 seconds. I've got some rather big questions to ask you when we come back, so I don't want to get into them quite yet. But tell everybody where they can get your book, and then we will, real quickly, and then we'll take a break, and we'll pick it up right there.
Well, my new book's not quite available yet. I just got my final proofs in the email today for me to approve for publishing. The other two books are available on Amazon. I have two websites. One of them's called indefenseofournation.blogspot.com, and the other one is defenseofournation.com. There's links for the former on that website, along
Defense
with a bunch of other research material.
And his name is David Risalata We will say that again when we come back in the interview so people can find you, because this is a preciously small number of people that really talk about this, and we need to, because they're talking about psychology. We got to understand what they're doing. Hold on for just a moment. We're going to take a break. This is Spouting Off with Karen Cataline. We'll be right back after this.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/AskAuntEmma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Thanks for staying with us. You're listening to Spouting Off here on BBS Radio and other points all over the country. Just go to KarenCataline.com and you can listen to a whole bunch of archives of Spouting Off. And we are talking with David Risalata. Fascinating conversation, one that I appreciate and which conservatives, I think, talk way too little about. Conservatives tend to be kind of more scientific, and psychology is more of an art than a science, I've always thought. Anyway, David Risalata, his last name is spelled R-I-S-S-E-L-A-D-A, and you can find him at defenseofournation.com. You can look him up on Amazon and read a couple of his books out there, and he's got another one coming out very, very soon about persuasion and coercion. So thanks for staying with us, David Risalata. We really appreciate your time.
Sure, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, I do too, and I hope it won't be the last time either. So here's the question. Excuse me. Let's turn it upside down or backwards, I guess, since we're living in a backwards world right now. Instead, I mean, we not only need to be aware of the psychology that is being used on us, which is the masks, which is a psyop, as sure as I'm sitting here, recognized it well over a year ago. It's a tool to make people submit, to get them to comply, to make them feel hopeless and helpless. In fact,
absolutely.
If you'll hold on a minute, I've got something. It's on my bulletin board. I can't reach it from my microphone. So I'm going to go over here, this thing that I have very quickly, and then I'll tell you the question that I want to ask you. Okay. It says, I've had this and read this to a lot of people, and I'm abbreviating it a bit. Did you know that 2,300 years ago, long before Islam, Arabs discovered that forcing people to cover their nose and mouths broke their will and individuality and depersonalized them. It made them submissive. That's why they imposed on every woman the mandatory use of fabric over the face. The mask is the beginning of deleting individuality. Could it be more clear than that?
Yep,
so here's... Yeah. Your thoughts before I ask you that question. Anything?
It absolutely goes along with things that you find, you know, like I'm going to go back to Saul Alinsky. This is something that I go back to over and over and over again. People will come to accept any solution to a problem, if they reach a point of hopelessness and feel like there's no future, you know, and that's all based on what they've studied about getting people to comply with certain things. So, yeah, if they can make us feel hopeless. And there was another book I read talking about how pandemics affect societies, and I cited this in one of my other articles. People need to come together on an individual emotional level in order to overcome societal trauma. So all of this social distancing and mask use and depersonalization and all that, man, they know this, Karen.
Well, and you know it, I mean? And it disarms people politically, too.
Exactly.
Obama was a community organizer. And so if they can stop people from organizing, then people feel all alone. And boy, that part is working because people are all feeling very much the same, but it's more difficult than ever. And plus, they're playing catch up. So not mustard, but they're playing catch up. So so here's one of the questions that I was just dying to ask you, and that is this. While we're looking at the psychology they are placing on us to manipulate and control us, I keep asking the question, wrote a few pieces about this. Tell us about the psychology, as you've observed, of the typical human need to control and manipulate other people.
Now, that's something that I haven't really looked into too much. I've always been more concerned with, I asked myself a question when all the way back in NSU, because as a student at NSU, I had to write a white privilege paper. And at the same time, I was praised for how well I had written the paper, but then I was told I was no longer fit for the field of social work because I didn't I didn't comply with the white privilege critical race theory ideology, right? So, and then I watched as these professors in this program made everybody, and everybody complied, stand up in front of the whole classroom and admit that they didn't really know how racist they were until being exposed to this white privilege ideology. So this whole thing started for me that way. The question I asked myself is, well, how are people becoming indoctrinated into this communist ideology? You know, why are people complying with this? And so the other side of it, the need to dominate and control, that's not something I've really looked into that much. So I don't have an opinion on that right now.
Let's put our heads together and do a little bit of analysis right now. Okay.
Maybe some insecurity issues.
Exactly. Yes. Because, you know, you're in the mental health field, and that's one of my favorite things to do is simply to analyze. That doesn't mean either one of us have the end-all, be-all answers. What it means is we're not afraid of the question. Okay.
Right.
So the first thing, that's
a big point.
Yeah. Well, especially because socialists and communists are terrified of anybody questioning anything.
Because they don't have two legs to stand on. They can't prove that their theories, that all they have is failure behind them.
Failure and force. They have to force you, coerce you, bully and intimidate you, and that's totalitarianism in spades.
Yep.
So the reason this is so important, I think, to look at them is because it's a way to turn the tables on them and fight them ideologically and psychologically the way they fight us. Unfortunately,
absolutely.
Conservatives are very poor at this. That's why I see you and I got to lead the way, because I know preciously few mental health professionals of any kind. And you don't have to have a degree, but I mean, you have to be interested in the subject. So a lot of it is narcissism.
Yeah.
Narcissism is, I think, a good deal of it. People who are more susceptible to groupthink, socialists and communists in general, the people that fall for it, they tend to need more social, reinforcement, validation. They need more validation of society than the average individualist, of course, because if the individualist needed that, they would fall for every fad and trend known to man. I think that the psychology of what makes, doggone, we're running really short on time. The psychology of what makes people an individual and the psychology of what makes them a collectivist, as well as the strategists that constantly want to control and manipulate others, is an open area. I apologize that I got to wrap it up now. Boy, that came quick. David Risalata, everybody get his book. One final, I've got to wrap up the show, so I'm so sorry, David. Have to have you back again, because I love this discussion. Let us know when your next book comes out, but hopefully we'll have you on much before that, and your articles. So thanks for joining us. That about does it for us here on Spouting Off. I'm your host, Karen Cataline. Thanks to Doug for joining us. Thanks to everyone that makes the show possible. And many thanks to HW, the guy with an IQ greater than that of a small soap dish. Tune in next week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays for more Spouting Off, because there will be way a lot to spout off about here on Spouting Off.